Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Did you know that there's a demographic, I'll get it right, there is a demographic time bomb ticking, and that time bomb is ticking both in China and in the U.S. That time bomb that I'm talking about when I talk about a demographic time bomb is that both China and the United States are running out of people to maintain its economic growth. Both of those two countries. It's being seen probably more pronounced in China right now, but it's certainly a problem for the U.S. And that's what I want to talk about on the program here today. I noticed that an article was written by Phyllis Schlafly on this subject on Eagle Forum. EagleForum.org is the website that you can find out all the information about Phyllis and the great work that she has done over the years and all the articles that she's writing and columns and so forth. Most people in our listening audience don't need much of an introduction for Phyllis Schlafly because they're very familiar with her work. But let me just tell you that she's the author of one of her most recent books is Who Killed the American Family? And No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. But beyond that, she is also a national leader of the conservative movement since the publication of her best-selling book that came out in 1964. It's called A Choice, Not an Echo. And since then, she's the author of more than 20 books. She's written a monthly newsletter since 1967 called The Phyllis Schlafly Report, and also has a syndicated column that appears in over 100 newspapers. She has a daily radio commentary that is heard on over 600 stations, and her radio talk show on education is called The Eagle Forum and live, and it's heard weekly on 90 stations. Very busy, obviously. Phyllis, thank you very much for taking time out to come on the Knowing the Truth radio program today to talk with us.
Well, thank you, Pastor Kevin. Always good to join you.
Well, let me ask you about this demographic time bomb that I alluded to.
Well, first of all, I think we have to admit that the good Lord knew what he was doing in sending this earth about half men and half women. Mm. And when people have tried to alter that, they're getting in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And China had a one-child policy, and in China they have a system that they really prefer boys, and so they were killing all the girls.
Mm.
And pretty soon we've got thousands of boys, and there's no woman or wife for them around to meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very serious situation. And I thought that probably that would mean they'd have to go to war. So what are you going to do with 100,000 men who haven't got any women?
Mm.
Send them off to war and kill them off. But they've got they've decided now they're going to go to a two-child policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take them a long time to catch up.
Yes.
But what they've discovered is that while people are living longer today, they're not living long enough to care for the old people who are getting older.
Mm. Now, that one-child policy was set way back in 1970, right?
I think so.
And then that they ruthlessly enforced that.
Ruthlessly, yes, right.
With forced abortions, infanticide, sterilization, all kinds of horrific things taking place there. But now all of a sudden, their economy is really suffering. And I don't think we should conclude, okay, they've now announced you can have a two-child policy, that this is a result of them lessening their ruthless attack against the family, right?
Yes, and you've simply got to go to the authorities to get permission to have the second child.
Mm. And it's
what a system.
I know. And it's all based upon economics. Not they're not doing that out of the kindness of their heart, right?
No, but what they've discovered now, and I guess they decided they wouldn't go to war with all these extra men standing around, but what they've discovered is that people are living longer, and the average person simply does not make enough money in his life to support the old folks on Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to do something about that. They're not sure what they're going to do.
Now, your article is entitled China Needs More Children, and then you add, and so do we. So this is not just a problem over there. It's a problem over here, right?
No, because our birth rate has dropped significantly in this country, and we're not producing enough babies to take care of all of us oldies when we're ready to get Social Security.
Mm. They were saying that the percentage of Americans who worked peaked around 15 years ago. Has it been on the uptick since then, or has it been declining?
Well, I think the percentage of workers is declining.
Mm.
And, of course, they're bringing in a lot of foreigners to take a lot of these jobs away from Americans, which I'm not in favor of. I think the job of our government is to look after our people. But they certainly did give us the wrong information about population.
Mm.
You know, there was a famous book called The Population Bomb that told us originally we were going to run out of food.
Mm.
And, of course, that's ridiculous. But at any rate, it was a very popular book that sold millions of copies, and people believed it. And that's why China started its one-child policy. And the United States just went whole hog for all types of birth control and abortion.
Mm. Let's bring it even a little bit closer to home. A lot of the, not just in China, but here we talked about in the U.S. having a similar issue to face. But let's get right to the GOP. Many of the people in our listening audience are conservative and like the GOP candidates and so forth. A lot of them are talking about economic issues, but do you hear any of them talking about this particular problem?
No, they shy away from it. Because the Democratic Party is absolutely tied in to support for abortion funding,
mm-hmm.
funding of Planned Parenthood. And I guess you saw those videos that played
yes.
on television
yes.
of the horrendous ways they are saving some of the organs of the aborted baby
yes.
and are for resale. Oh, it's a system that just turns your stomach.
Mm.
And at any rate, the Democratic Party seems to be tied into that. Now, the Republican Party, I have a new book that's coming out soon. It's not out yet, but if you stick with my website, you'll learn about it soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we made the Republican Party pro-life, because the Republican Party used to be pro-abortion.
Mm.
But some of us decided that wouldn't do, and we changed the platform, and we changed the party. And now the Republican Party is the pro-life party. And you really need to be active in the party in order to have an influence on it. We have a two-party system. And if you like third parties, I invite you to move to Europe. They've got lots of extra useless third parties over there you can join. But we have a two-party system.
Yes.
And I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to convert the Democratic Party, so
yes.
I'm working on the Republican Party.
I think that's absolutely true. Let me ask you, though. They're all talking about economic growth. They all say, hey, this is, if you elect me, we're going to have tremendous economic growth. But how can there be economic growth if they don't address the issue that the population is aging and people are having smaller families? Do we have enough people to actually fund that economic growth?
No, you said that very well, and that's extremely important. And you've got to have workers. And the United States is losing its workers and importing foreign workers who don't do the same work and so forth. And well, the country's been so mismanaged. And I hope you're telling all your parishioners that they need to be sure they vote in the next election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had lots of religious and God-fearing people who simply didn't vote in the last election.
Yes, yeah.
And they're depending on God to do the job. Well, God has a big job to do, but stuffing the ballot box is not on his list. And that's our job.
Yes.
And so I hope you encourage all your parishioners to be active in politics, because that's where the big decisions are made. And we need them, and we need everybody. I tell all my oldie friends, we need you all now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these policies, especially over the past 8 years, I think that it's opened many people's eyes, and they realize that they can't shirk that responsibility. To do so just has resulted in the tremendous demise of the country. What do you fear most, Phyllis, after all these years of keeping your finger on the pulse of what's taking place politically? What are some of your greatest fears about what's taking place?
Well, unfortunately, the wrong crowd has been in charge. And a lot of people have allowed what we call, well, I used to call them the kingmakers, to take over the Republican Party. And they're the ones who think they are appointed to decide who the nominee should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we've had a series of losers. So I'm urging everybody to be active in politics. And you can choose which party you can be active in, but I've chosen the Republican Party because that's the way it works. And their convention to decide the next leader will be in Cleveland, Ohio, next summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're all dying to go to Cleveland in the summer, where it's so nice and warm and humid. And but that's where it's going to be, and I'll see you there.
Let me ask you about the various candidates that are running on the Democratic side. Are you surprised to see Hillary Clinton still in the running here? And what about the rise of Bernie Sanders and the openly embrace of socialism?
Well, that's not what the American people want. And I think all of Hillary Clinton's policies would be bad for this country, and it's very important that we beat her. And it does appear that the Democrats are going to put her up for their candidate, and we need a candidate who's got the strength and the courage to come out strong in favor of America.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like some of these slogans, like, let's make America great again.
Yes.
That's what Reagan did, and we've got to do it again.
Well, as you mentioned that, that's obviously a slogan that's being used by Donald Trump. You got Trump and Carson and Cruz, you know, leading the lineup there. Any of those in particular do you find particularly interesting, or that would could make
well,
that
I
point?
Well, I think Trump is extremely interesting and has the courage to do what he thinks ought to be done.
Hmm.
Now, you have to understand, everybody's perfect. When we backed Ronald Reagan, he wasn't perfect. But at any rate, we got him to go around and talk to the grassroots, and he learned from the people what we really wanted, and turned out to be a very good president, maybe the best one we've had in the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, I think he really believes in America. The problem with Obama is he really didn't believe in making America great. He wanted America to be just like everybody else and not exceptional. And I do think we are exceptional. Exceptional in the land of liberty, exceptional in the land of wealth that we've created, and we just hope that people will recognize that you've got to be active in politics. So I'm telling all my friends, I'll see you in Cleveland next summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be quite an event, no doubt about it. Phyllis, what any of those other candidates, a Carson or a Cruz, also making similar statements?
Well, they all make some good statements. Yeah, pretty good statements, but the thing about Trump is that he's willing to grapple maybe the toughest issue, which is the immigration issue.
Mm-hmm.
And America's always been welcoming to other people, but we really only want people who want to be Americans. And the people coming in now don't want to be Americans. They want to change us. They want to make us diverse. They're just They're not people, you know, I have friends who came in the early wave of immigration in the 20s, and they said when they got off the boat at Ellis Island in New York, their parents would stand them up and say, and now we're in America, and we're going to be in Americans, and we're going to speak English, and this is our country now. Well, they don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to keep their own ways, and there's no way to even vet them and find out which of them might be terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of folks now not only speaking out against the illegal immigration, which is easy to speak out against because it's wrong, but I'm also hearing some folks talking about that we need to limit even legal immigration. Do you support that as well?
Yes, I certainly do. I think we ought to have what we earlier called a pause in letting people into this country.
Yes.
Maybe the whole rest of the world would like to come to America, but we cannot accommodate the whole rest of the world.
Right.
And our the obligation of our government is the people who are citizens who are here, who are paying the taxes. And, you know, one of the requirements when to become a citizen is that you guarantee you will not become a public charge on the taxpayers' money.
Right.
And all of these people coming in now go right on welfare.
Yeah, 50-some percent, easy. Over 50 percent, closer to 60 percent, I think, which is even higher than the actual citizens of the United States. The percentage is much higher. So
well, right, because the rest of the world is so poor.
Yes.
And if they want to be rich like we are, they ought to adopt our systems with limited government.
Yeah, it's certainly...
But no, they just want to come in and cash in on the goodies that we have created.
Can hardly blame them if this is what's being offered. So I think that, like you were pointing out, the problems with the leadership. Would you support the fence or some sort of wall or something there in order to stop the flow of illegals coming over the southern border?
Absolutely, and I think one of the popular things that Donald Trump says, he will absolutely build a wall and make the Mexicans pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the sound of that.
They're getting so much welfare and foreign aid now, and we need to look after the people who are here.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to follow the restrictions that we have for people coming in this country. One of the things they were supposed to make sure of is that they would not be a public charge.
Yes.
And they're coming right in and going right on welfare.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we can't put the rest of the world on U.S. welfare. That is not fair to the people who are working hard in this country.
Right. Putting up some sort of a better border, a fence or a wall or whatever.
Well, they proved that that's, you know, Israel proved that that's proof of wall works.
Right.
And also San Diego proved it. They used to have a flood of immigrants coming in San Diego, and they built a good wall, and now nobody comes in that way anymore.
Right.
They moved over to Arizona.
Yes, that one seems to be the no-brainer, you know, to put up some sort of barrier, no doubt about it. The harder one seems to be, when speaking about immigration, is what do you do with the people, the illegals that are already here? Some people say 11 million, 15 million, whatever. But what do you propose to do with those individuals?
Well, I think you know, so many of them have committed crimes, and they ought to be sent back. And they tell us that their own countries won't take them back. Well, tough. They're probably getting foreign aid from us. We'll cut off the money supply to these countries that refuse to take back their own citizens who are doing bad things when they come illegally into the United States.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, any of those that have committed crime, they're gone. Still leaves, let's say it still leaves millions. Do we go around and try to they would put it this way, I don't think it'd be quite this way, but round them up and ship them all back?
Well, certainly the ones who committed crimes.
Right.
And there are plenty of them who've been committed half a dozen crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're released into our society. There's something really wrong with that.
Mm.
It's putting our people in danger, and we need to have a better system of protecting Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, Phyllis, we've talked about immigration here at home. Foreign policy seems to be a mess under this administration. Do you think that those same candidates that were talking about a few moments ago, that they can handle the foreign policy job as well?
Well, yes, I do, because it's kind of a matter of whether you believe in America being great and America being superior. I believe that the United States was destined to be the superior country in military and other ways, because when we are, our friends are more secure and our enemies are scared of us, and that's the way it ought to be.
As we speak, Benjamin Netanyahu is once again here in the United States. They haven't met and spoken in 4 months, even though there's a lot happening, of course, in the Middle East again. What are your thoughts on the way that Israel, one of our greatest allies, and the only ally really in the Middle East, that the way they've been treated under this administration?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that Obama doesn't like Israel, and he's not willing to bend the rules to be nice to Israel the way America wants to do. But Israel has proved that a wall works, incidentally.
Yes.
Israel built a wall. And what do you know? It works.
Yeah, I think we have plenty of examples there on that taking place. Can this agreement with Iran about allowing...
Oh, it's terrible.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Can it be undone by the next president?
I hope so. I hope we're going to have somebody with courage. And, you know, somebody asked Walker when he was running for president, what was the most important decision that Ronald Reagan made? And he said... It was a decision to fire the air traffic controllers.
Huh.
Well, that was an unexpected
answer.
And they went around and asked George Shultz, who was supposed to be the last word on all economic questions. He said, that's absolutely right. That was Reagan's most important decision because it showed the communists in Russia what kind of a man he was. He wasn't a pushover like Ted Kennedy and the previous presidents. And we need to have a president who's got a reputation for being a strong man and standing up for America.
Well, Phyllis, thank you so much. Obviously, a wide-ranging interview. We're talking about a number of subjects, but we appreciate
it. And for everything else, go on my website, eagleforum.org.
Exactly. I'm going to give them that website again here in just a moment. But, Phyllis, thank you so much for your work over the years, and thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to talk with us for a few moments here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
And I'll see you in Cleveland next summer.
See you in Cleveland. Okay, sounds good. Thanks again, Phyllis. All right, that was Phyllis Schlafly. Folks that have been conservative for a long period of time, they know Phyllis very well. And you know that she's in that same strain as a Margaret Thatcher. You know, there's very little nuance of color there. This is the way it is, and we need that. Don't we? Don't we need that? We need a lot of this, all of this back and forth and talking in different shades and so forth. We need someone who just says this is the way it ought to be and this is what we should do. And I just appreciate that about her. Again, she's the author of one of her most recent book is called Who Killed the American Family? And another is No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. As she mentioned, you can find out more about Phyllis and the things that she writes about out at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum. That's all one word, eagleforum.org. Or if you really want to be adventurous, you can try to spell Schlafly and go out to phyllisschlafly.com. And if you go out there, you'll be able to find that same information as well. Schlafly is spelled S-C-H-L-A-F-L-Y. And you can go out to phyllisschlafly.com and find out more information about her there as well.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.